All right, can we just declare the word of God once again? Say, I am filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. Say, I'm strengthened by his might. Therefore, I'm attaining all steadfastness in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it as the word of God is coming forth this evening. I receive insight. I receive counsel. I receive direction. Now listen to this. Say, every trouble in my body is driven away by the entrance of the word of God. Every confusion in my mind is banished away by the entrance of the word of God. Every unrighteousness in me is removed by the light of the word in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Quickly, let me just share something I noticed when I was listening to the man of God, Kenneth Hagin, preach. Very interesting when he said it. Now, listen to this. I think I've said it sometime over the last few weeks. You know, before I say that, on Saturdays, I've been trying to explain something about the word of God, all right? Why it's important we expose ourselves to it. And I think it's along the line I shared this testimony I heard from him. Now, he was a man who was anointed specifically. God gave him the gift, all right, to heal the sick. He had a special anointing, what the Bible calls the gifts of healings, okay? It was operating in his life. But he says something which is very interesting. Of course, first of all, he said he passed out for 12 years. In 12 years, he did not bury a church member. He didn't care whether they were young or old. They did not die. In 12 years. It was later that his wife kind of remarked it, that you realize we never had to conduct any funeral of any church member in 12 years of pastoring. And said, what that meant, it's not they fell sick, but they had to get well. Okay? Now, just bear that in mind. Now, he said something, which is why I heard recently. I knew that one long ago. I've heard him preach. I was in university. I've been hearing that man preach, and I've heard a lot of the things that he preached. So recently, I was listening to him again, and I heard him say something which I didn't hear all these years. He said that he used to conduct very regularly healing meetings, like healing crusades in the church. And he had a special anointing to minister to the sick. And people used to get healed instantly a lot of times as he's praying for them. All right? A lot. He said, but one thing is striking. Not one member of his church got healed in any of those meetings. Did you hear what I said? Number one, everybody got healed, nobody died over 12 years that he was a pastor. Number two, in the special meetings that he used to hold to pray for the sick, many people used to get healed dramatically. Many. Many. He said, yet, not one time did any member of the church get healed in any of those meetings. It used to be people they invited. It used to be unbelievers. Number two, he said he can't remember any member of his church being instantly healed when he prayed for the person. No, away from the meetings now. Do you understand my point? So I've demonstrated a lot of things. Number one, there was the power of God to heal. There was. We know that. The man was anointed. We also know that these people, that they did not get healed in a special meeting or get healed dramatically, always got healed. So what used to happen to them? He said they all got healed by teaching. That is, it's not by him praying for them, but as he will be teaching the word of God regularly and they will be listening to and paying attention to that word, they always got healed. Always. 100% of the times. 100% of the times. What happened? As the word will be entering into them, the word will be doing its work. That people often miss the supernatural while they are looking out for the spectacular. There is a world of difference between that which is spectacular and that which is supernatural. The working of the word of God is always supernatural. but it's not always spectacular. Many times as you are exposing yourself to the word of God, afflictions leave you. It's years later you remember, I used to have this affliction. What happened to it? It got healed as the word of God was coming forth. You know, over the last few weeks, the thing has been strong in my mind to emphasize to Christians. You do not, listen, your life, the word of God is the food you survive on. The word of God is that which tells your system how to behave. That is what directs the direction of your destiny. What comes to people in life, you know, my wife and I were just, you know, she was studying the book of Ecclesiastes, and then she will ask me some questions, we'll discuss some things. Then I will consider some things. After a while, I just said, listen, because you know, Solomon was saying that, she was just analyzing what Solomon said. Solomon would just, he would say something like, in fact, the one that made her really laugh was that Solomon said, what is that foolishness, that wisdom is better than foolishness. If I pointed out to her that at the time Solomon in his experiments, he tried folly. And he quickly left folly alone, that foolishness was foolish. So he couldn't survive being foolish for a long time. So he now said, that, okay, what is the advantage of this wisdom self? Because at the end of the day, the wise man dies, the foolish man dies. So what is the advantage of the wisdom? So she and I were just discussing those things. And at the end of the day, I said, listen, you know, that's why Solomon came to the end. After reasoning everything, he said, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God, obey his commandments. That is, life does not make meaning outside those two things. Now, there's a reason why I quickly brought that one in. The grace is not to the swift. Solomon noticed that many people who determined to succeed did not succeed. They were determined, they did not succeed. The battle is not to the strong. Many people thought they had everything they needed in life to break through. All they suffered was breakdown. So Solomon said, listen, what do you do? Don't pursue anything that's great. In fact, I like the way David said it. He said, I've quietened my soul like a weaned child in the presence of the mother. He said, I do not, how did he say it again? Anything that's too great for me, I don't get involved in those things. And that's Psalm 131. All right? There are things that are too wonderful for me, I don't get involved. Now, I'm going somewhere with all the things I said. You notice that at the end of the day, Solomon was saying, in effect, don't bother yourself, relax. For each period of your life, just do that which is pleasing to God. And what your life should be, the Spirit of God will bring it to pass by himself. Now, why did I go into that? Meanwhile, what do? Let us just allow the word to enter us all the time, and that word will form us into what we did not even plan for. The word of God, I keep on saying, is not advice. You know, it's good to wake up and do your work. Listen, those things can be derived. Listen, please, don't miss these Saturdays. We're going to start, if I began it last Saturday, I'm going to continue to break those things down. All right? The word of God, out of it, will derive some things on how to discipline ourselves and all of that. But the truth is that the word of God is actually deeper than that. It is. It's not just how to. It's not how to that's inside it. It is, let me walk my walk in you, and you watch, and you will see what I will produce in your life. Let me say this. I say it, and I get into the main thing I want to say today. You cannot. Now, listen, this is not a joke. If I feel so prophetic as I'm about to say it. All the plans you have for your life, now listen to this. All the plans you have for your life, all the ideas you have, all of them, no matter how good and noble they are, because I know you're a good person, you want good. None of them really will take you to where God wants you to get to. Each one is just an exercise in faithfulness. You hear what I said? You're just exercising faithfulness. You're just practicing how to be good and kind. You know, you're practicing how to wake up in the morning and have a business for the day. Where God really wants to take you to, listen to this, it will just happen to you. Mm-hmm. Let me say it again. One day you will look back and realize that you are in a place you did not plan to get to. Now listen to this, another thing. That place will be better than you ever planned for. That one is a matter of fact. That one is a matter of fact. Many people who are scheming and plotting to become senators and presidents will never become. Oh, counselors say they know who see. This evening, physically present, is at least one senator who does not believe he will ever join politics. Did you hear what I said? Physically present here this evening is at least one senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria who currently does not believe that he or she will ever join politics. Among those who are still waking up every day and say, why should I be a politician? Because they don't worry. In fact, me too, I don't know why you should be a politician. Don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Just take that schooling, that teaching you are doing, do it very well. Just take that law you are practicing, practice it very well. Take that music you are singing, sing it very well. Then one day, while you are singing, I will remove you from the singing place and you become Senate president. And I want to say, oh God, but you never believed in politics. He said, I still don't believe in it too. I don't know how I got here. You know this book I wrote, should I say yes? Of course, for obvious reasons, it's been one of our fastest selling books because it's on a love, marriage, relationship, so the Lord is good. Now, but what I want to tell you about the book, all right? Just to use it as an illustration, what I want to tell you about the book is this. My friend, I mean, many of you saw him a few weeks ago, Pastor Courage, he was around. When he saw the book, should I say yes? He said, now wow, that anybody that's following men of God should be careful, though. That he was telling me things I couldn't remember I ever said. He said, one of those that used to say that only jobless preachers preach on marriage. I said that. He said, yes, that I told him. Well, I didn't use the word jobless. He's like, why should anybody be talking of marriage and relationship? What kind of thing is that? That when there are serious matters to discuss. I said, I called him Archbishop. I said, Archbishop, I said that. He said, yes, you told me that you have no business. I said, now wow. Because he's the one saying it, I believed it. But it sounded so strange. Now, why did I write the book? I remember people like Bishop, that's our own Bishop, Mike. As we'll be preaching, I'll drop some things. You know, I say, okay, I write this thing down in a book for us. And I say, I don't get time for writing a book of marriage. No. Every time I'm preaching, I'll tell my story, give testimonies, give illustrations, say things that are totally contrary to the popular, you know, beliefs, you know, and opinions. And they say, write these things down. I don't have time to write. Then one day, I don't know what happened. I just decided to start telling stories. The thing was flowing so much. I wrote that book in a very short time. It took me just a few weeks. So next thing is that everybody's reading, should I say yes? I look and say, why did you write a book on marriage? I don't know. Just because Bishop and Uncle were worrying me so much that all these things I've been saying, I should write it down so that they can read it. Now, I'm giving an illustration. My friend said years ago, I said that, like, what am I doing? Writing a book on marriage. Not even writing, teaching. I've been invited many times to places. As always, somebody said, Mary, I said, literally, I'll tell you, what do I look like to you? Do I look like Bimbo Dukoya? I said, no, please. And I will always turn it down till today. Till today we are speaking. If you organize a program, especially for young people, and it's on relationships and marriage, I am not going. Till today that you and I are talking. The only place I've gone to preach on marriage matters, usually maybe a special program for couples, you know. Usually it's 1 hour, you know, you speak for 30 minutes, and so we'll just go there and chat. But otherwise, to make it a matter, yet, without planning it, I wrote a book on it. Did you hear what I said? That is how your life is going to be. There are many people here who don't even believe they are called to be business people. And one day, they'll be billionaires doing business. And it will just be like this. I like the story of Mary Kay Ash. This is how it was. She worked for other people most of her life until she reached what was considered the age of retirement. Now, I really don't know at what particular age that happened, but one day she retired from working and decided to write of course, she was a salesperson, all right? She worked for what they call Stanley Home Products, all right, doing sales. And then she rose up in the ranks a bit, and then she retired, and she was not happy with her experiences, many of those experiences over the years that she worked. So what she did was to write how things could have been done better. So she wrote a book on how you could organize a company better than what she experienced over the many years, a few decades of working. So after she finished writing the book, she wanted to publish the book. Then something struck her. Now we know it was the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? I said to her that, who wants to read the book? Who are you? Why should they read a book that you wrote? Nobody knows you. Nobody will read your book because you don't know what you are talking about. In summary, I'm embellishing it now to bring out the point. So she said, all right, let's do something. So she kept the book and said, let me first go and prove that these theories are actually correct. All right? She was a salesperson. She was not a cosmetics specialist. Her experience and her skill was in salesmanship. You understand? In sales. That was what her experience and her skills, all right, were in. But the issue now was that what do we sell so as to demonstrate that these theories are actually correct and these are the ways by which businesses should be run? So she thought about it and remembered that there was a particular friend of hers who her father was a tanner, I think was a leather, he used to work with leather. And then the man's hands were actually much younger looking than his face as he was aging. And they decided that it was because of the things that he used to soak his hand in as he worked leather. So the family had formulated the stuff into certain chemicals that you could use on your face and make your face look age less, you know, reverse the aging process, remove wrinkles, and all of that. The family had done that. So she now said, okay, that would be a good thing to use to start. So she went, approached one of the children of the man, all right, and then they sold her the rights. I said, okay, good, we will start business from here. She wasn't trying to sell cosmetics. She was trying to prove that the way by which she did business worked. Do you understand my point? And then God breathed on that, and she became a successful business person. Mike Murdock was quoted to have valued her personal wealth at the time to be over $2 billion. And God began to expand her, so that that book was finally published, of course, edited, changed here and there, and you can get the book and read the title, Miracles Happen. That's the title of the book, Miracles Happen. One chapter I've quoted from many times was the one titled, You Can't Outgive God. That was one in which she realized that it was God that blessed her, because one day she went to church and pledged to double the amount of money that they will pledge, you understand, that people will give towards building the children's wing of their church. In previous times, they probably raised $5,000 on a very good day, $2,000. So that day, she did a very good job. She thought the money would be up to $10,000. All right? The money she had promised to double came to be $106,000. She was totally surprised. Except that while she was sitting down, still thinking of how do I quickly get this money paid, she had to go to the bank to borrow it. The phone rang again. This time, it was her son, who said that her investment into a particular way of drilling for oil some time before that had just started yielding. And they just told her that same hour that her profit monthly was going to be over $100,000. So she wrote a book, a chapter titled, You Can't Outgive God. She said the day she was going to take her money to church, it was not a matter of, yes, I'm a giver. She said, no, I was trembling that this God is too great. That I'm not giving to him. Actually, I've been receiving from him all this while. That I'm not the giver. I'm actually the receiver here. Now, all those things happened. She did not plan them, actually. That's what I'm telling the story. At the end of the day, she built a very successful, cosmetics company. And that's what we know her for. A lot of other financial blessings that God gave her, many people don't know about it. That is why I just told that story. I just brought out that story so as to show you that the woman prospered beyond what we could see. Did she plan it? No. So that's what I'm telling you. The plans you have for your life now, enjoy it. Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
Enjoy.
So now all the plans you have, don't throw it away. Don't make the mistake. Don't go home and say that. Hey. As the bank said, this is, you know you're not going to go anywhere anyway, so Let me just wake up in the morning and be strolling around the neighborhood. No, that is not the plan. It is occupied with this until I come. And that's what I'm saying. This you are occupied with, is not his coming. But be occupied. That's why a lot of people don't understand. They say, what kind of career have you chosen? Don't worry. You are not going to choose career for God. God will choose career for you. What you have right now is the present occupation. What did I call it? That is what it is. It is the present occupation. When I say occupation, I don't mean job. Now I mean the things that's occupying you. That's my emphasis there. It is the thing that is currently occupying you. It's not your destiny. It is the thing that is currently occupying you, not your destiny. So you can't plot your life and what you will become tomorrow by what you are doing today. That's why I tell you, just enjoy today. This is what you are doing today. Just enjoy it. Just be like me. You know, there's one thing I do a lot these days. I mean, like, of course, you know, I preach every time. Every time I finish preaching, I always feel very happy. I always feel very happy. In fact, like, especially on Saturday night, I don't do any of that thing. I just go home and eat and watch TV or watch something on my computer and just relax. I tell my wife that, you see, I always feel I have worked. When I finish preaching, I always feel very satisfied. I just relax. Say, yes, this life is sweet, my God. You understand my point? Now let me ask you a question. Do I get paid every time I preach here? No. Most of the times I preach, I don't get given anything. But it makes me very happy. The man I was quoting earlier, Kenneth Hagin, there's something he says all the time, which is very interesting. When he finishes preaching, a lot of times he'll say, well, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I have sure preached myself happy. You finish preaching, he said, look, I don't know whether I helped you or not, but I definitely preached myself until I became happy. And for me, that's how my life is. So currently, I enjoy preaching. I enjoy preaching. What's my life going to be like in 20 years' time? I don't know. But what is it like today? That one I know. I enjoy preaching. I like the way I've seen your faces. You came here to come and listen to me preach. I feel good. When I see you, I'm happy. You don't know. Every time I see you, I'm very happy. Why? Because you've showed me that it's good I was born. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, it's good I was born. Yes, it's good I live in Nigeria. You've shown that to me. Anytime you leave everything you have to do to get down here by 5 o'clock, either on Saturday or on Tuesday, or you log on to our website and you are listening to the message, what you are proving to me is simple. Say, yeah, Banky, it's good. What you are doing is good. What you are doing is good. God is using you to do something. You are like a pipe. You are carrying something from the presence of God. That's what you are proving to me. That's why I like to see you. The Lord is good. And I like people like you. Why? You look very serious. What am I saying? I want to emphasize the fact that I'm enjoying myself. That's what I'm saying in all of these things. I'm feeling very happy. Will tomorrow come and then Kingdom World Ministries will be paying me 10 billion naira every year? Who cares? Very unlikely. Anyway, ministries really don't do things like that. Do you understand? So that's not the plan. The plan is occupy with this until tomorrow comes. Occupy with this. Someone said there's no job. That fellow is a lie. There is something to be occupied with all the time. There is always something to be occupied with. There is always something to be occupied with. Look for something that you do at the end of the day. You are happy. Not because of money. Money shouldn't be making you happy. It's just an added thing. Money is one of those things that are added. You should look for something that makes you, that is, you do it every day. And you are happy that I have done something. Any day I preach or I finish writing a sermon, it's really a day that to me is very fulfilling. Oh, that is, I find it so fulfilling. What will my tomorrow be? Really, you know, I don't know. Now, that's what I'm trying to preach. I really don't know. The way I'm doing ministry currently is not targeted towards any end. No, really, I know what I'm trying to say. The only end The only end I think about, and God is my witness, I'm not lying about that. The only end I think about is that one day I will see you on the road and you will have prospered so much, and inside my stomach I'll know, yes, I preached that man out of poverty. Are you getting my point? Yes. That is the only... No, God is my witness. I'm not lying about it. You know, people talk about will. What will happen after this ministry? The only thing I've ever thought about, it has it's happened before. You know, you think, I say, ah, God forbid. I think that the Lord just came on and said, thank you. Well, you've tried on this earth. I want to take you to another planet. That one instruction I will give my wife is that make sure all these messages that we have carefully cataloged, carefully, you know, arranged, carefully archived, make sure they are always available. Disseminate them far and wide. You know, there's a man I read his materials and I quote from him once in a while, Oswald Chambers. You know, it's not, you know, this life, eh? Tell your neighbor, just love God. And tell the person, and enjoy yourself. That's all. Because many of the things that you think are insignificant in life today, if you know what God will do with them, you'll be surprised. Oswald Chambers, that I quote a lot, I have the complete collection of all his works. He was a teacher. He died at the age of 43. He didn't live very long. Yet, I don't know whether the book is here or I have it at home, but I have it on my computer, the whole collection, because one day I saw it for just $25. I was surprised. A fat book like this, fat. All the works of Oswald Chambers. Fat book. You buy it, it comes with a CD. The CD contains everything in a searchable form. You know, they call it Libronics, the software that runs on Windows. I bought it some years ago. In fact, one of my friends, Chooks, went to the US. It's one of those first things that he did for me. I just saw it. I called Chooks, help me buy this thing. $25 he paid for it. This very fat material, what is the thing about it? The thing about it is that the man wrote only one book titled Christian Disciplines. Trust me, you don't want to read the book. I can't read it. That is the only book he wrote. A small book. I think we have a copy in there titled Christian Disciplines. And it's actually two volumes. All right, so they are very small, combined into one. That's in one book, Christian Disciplines. Why did I say you don't want to read it? I'll tell you. Because it's like reading Shakespeare. He lived around the time of the, I think, before the, he was a well-educated, you know, Englishman that wrote with real Elizabethan English. So the only book he wrote by himself is the one most people can't read. The poetry is fantastic. You know, the English is so good for its time that modern man can't read it. Yet he has a fat book that a whole publishing company was set up just for his books. Why am I telling the story? Of course, before they compile into one large volume, all right? The books are over 30. How did the books come to be? It is simple. Because he married a woman. And that woman had only one child for him. A girl. Now listen to what happened to that woman. The woman was... her dream in life was to work for the British Prime Minister. That was her dream in life. And those days, dictaphones did not exist. You know, all this one just record things. Now everything we are saying, I just going to one tiny digital recorder and it's picking my voice crystal clear. Those things did not exist. The only way to take things down was somebody had to write them down in shorthand. They called them stenographers. So this woman trained herself to be a very good stenographer. Her aim, I will be so good, I will be able to work in the highest places in our nation. And she never got the job, but she married Oswald Chambers. And she took down everything he said. Did you hear that? Everything that dropped from his mouth in her presence, she wrote down. Apart from that book, Christian Disciplines, every other book you see the name Oswald Chambers on was notes that his wife took down while he preached. He died at the age of 43 in Egypt. All right? Yet, in the few years he was married to this woman, she wrote down so much, decades later, they were still publishing things that had not been published before. In that book, the complete collection I have, there are times you read to a particular point, they will put a note there that this portion of the notes is missing. Because it's just the notes she took. Yet, read his materials. Deep Christianity. The man taught me about the will of God the way nobody else ever explained it to me. He's the only person I ever saw attack the book of Ecclesiastes and make sense out of it. He titled the book Shade of His Hand. But later on, I found out he never wrote any book called Shade of His Hand. He just preached sermons on Ecclesiastes, and his wife took all the notes down. The woman was so brilliant in shorthand. Everything her husband preached, she wrote down. You don't know her. Most of you never heard of her until I started talking about her. You don't even know she existed. But you go around, hundreds and possibly, there's hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of copies of those books had circulated all over this world. The only reason why they exist is because one woman trained herself to become very good as a stenographer. And God took that ability and used it to immortalize the writings of Oswald Chambers. And then, of course, she was not into publishing. They had one daughter. The daughter grew up, and the two of them now started a publishing house to publish the materials. Are they the richest men in the world? Nobody knows. I mean, what I mean, physically speaking, they are not. But I'll tell you the truth. That woman is affecting the church of God more than many people that claim they are very rich on this earth. She's not alive anymore. Do you understand? But her works live forever. So that's why I said, my wife and I looked at it that yesterday, or the day before, you're studying the book of Ecclesiastes. I said, sweetheart, at the end of the day, you know what Solomon said? He said, fear God, obey his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Everything that your life will be, let God work it out by himself. That's why I said what I said earlier. As a child of God, go ahead, be planning all the planning you want to plan. Be arranging all the arrangement you want to arrange in righteousness. But listen, that's doing only two things for you. One, keeping you busy today and making you happy. That is all. It's only keeping you busy for the day and making you happy. That is all it is doing. It is not guaranteeing your destiny. It is not a way by which you know that you are going to be rich tomorrow. All it is doing for you is making you, keeping you busy and making you happy. That's all. You are kept busy so that you won't become, your hand won't start doing bad things. You know what they said? You know, before Satan starts finding, you know, work for the idle hand. So that one you are doing today, that's what it is. That's why Jesus said, look, having food and raiment, that's who was saying it now? Not Jesus, I think it was either Paul or Peter, you know? He said, with that, let us be content. Why was he saying that? It's simple. Where will we be tomorrow? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God will arrange. Look, listen. God is not sleeping, though. He knows you by name, and that's not a joke. He knows you by name. The main problem God has with people, listen to this, it's unfaithfulness. Do you hear what I said? The main problem he has with people is what? They can't be depended on. They are not faithful. And the little you have for them, you give them to do. They are so eager. They are looking for the big thing that they are going to do. They are so busy looking for the big thing. They are unfaithful in the small thing. And when the Lord comes, he looks at how well they did the small thing. He told the servants, because you were faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over much. Because you were faithful in a very little thing, he said, be in charge over plenty. Well, many people say that, listen, this small thing is a waste of time. Let us go and get something big so that we can affect this earth for God. You can imagine that woman, instead of marrying Oswald Chambers, she decided that what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a missionary in China, and I'm going to transform the whole of China. She goes to China, they imprison her there, and they will be say, okay, what do you call it? Prisoner for Christ. Oh. Or let's even forget the prisoner side. Say, listen, I'm going to go into business. I'm going to make money. And with that money, we're going to preach this gospel over the world. Let's use today's terms. Maybe she actually was able to make up to $50 million. And then she gives to gospel, gives to charity, buys many men of God cars, you know, pays for airtime on television for many preachers. And everybody say, wow, that was a life well lived. And one angel is looking, who saw the plan of God. And he said, how did she do? He said, that woman, she was a failure. He said, what? Don't you watch television? Don't you angels see TV in heaven? Did you not see that she was the one paying for all those broadcasts? He said, well, she tried. They said, but then the broadcast ended some years ago. They have forgotten the stations. In fact, many of the stations have gone down. Many of the things she preached, we can't remember. Or that the priest that she sponsored. And the angel calls you and says, come, let me show you what her life will have been. He won't show you the woman, no. He'll show you one bank in Enugu reading a book. See one Kofi in Ghana reading a book. Show you one Mongosutu Betelezi in South Africa reading a book. You go to America, you show a group of people studying from a book. And you see, and I say, ah, but she was not a preacher. I say, no. Can you see all these millions? I say, wait, now you won't see television. You will see television today. That is, the angel will carry you all over the place, showing you millions and millions of books. Then he will tune modern TV and say, you watch this TV. See, everything that man is preaching is what he read from that book. Did you see the multitudes being blessed by what he's preaching? Say, yes. He read it from a particular book. Or a set of books that he meditated upon for a whole year. That was how the Holy Spirit breathed upon him and he had this revelation. So what has that got to do with this woman? He said, oh, wait, follow me. You go to Bible school, this particular course is titled Gems from Genesis. They are studying the materials that somebody decoded, things that he got from the book of Genesis. He said, let me take you to a psychology school. There's a particular course called Christian Psychology. Actually, there's a book he wrote, well, one of his books titled Christian Psychology. Let me take you to university in philosophy. There's a particular course called Christian Philosophy. This is the book they are using. There's a book also which he has called Christian Philosophy. So have you seen all of that? So do you know how come that is possible? Or that would have been possible? If only she had married this man and had no ambition. You are valuing the $50 million she was able to give out for ministry. I'm telling you things we don't know how to put a monetary value on. That yes, some people will have told you that don't mind her. She only lives in the shadow of her husband. He said, but her works, the day they get to heaven, he said, Oswald Chambers, come forward. Tell the agent, all right, give him a check, $5,000 heavenly currency. It's good. He tried. Say he preached. Yeah, he preached powerfully. Yeah, he preached. He tried. All right. What's the woman's name now? But let's, Mrs. Chambers. Mrs. Chambers, come forward. Comes. All the angels will just bow. Babake. Somebody will say, no, she was not the preacher. Look at the preacher. Say, shut up. Babake. Or like my friend will say, Mamaki. Hey. What is going on? He said, that is the reason why people could read all those books. Paul planted. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. He said, God is now rewarding each person according to his labor. The increase is God's. But this woman was faithful. There was no word this man spoke she did not put down. Half of the words I gave this man, he never said. Do you understand my point? Because that's why I gave him a check for $5,000 heavenly dollars. Because half of the things I told him, he did not say them. But this woman, everything that he said, she wrote down. 50 years later, 60 years later, 70 years later, almost a hundred, of course you know, Jesus tarrying, 200 years later, people will still be reading those books. Why? Because she bothered to marry him and write down what he was saying. I keep on saying, you don't have any mate in life. Do you know that? You don't have any mate in life. She had many mates that time in court who became big women in the society while she was following this funny preacher all over the world. The man used to travel from one place to the other. That's how come he died in Egypt. Was a British man. She was with him in Egypt. One day took ill and then he died. But in the few years, I don't know how long that they were married, she had such a heavy load of notes. They had to start a company in putting the notes into books. And we are still being blessed by them till tomorrow. Who says her life did not count? Who can say that? That's what we're saying. Fear God, obey his commandments. Don't let this world decide for you what is important and what is not. Don't let this world teach you how to value yourself. I had a man telling you how to, okay, what is your total net worth? Write down all the money you have in your account, the value of your stock, the value of everything you have, the number of houses, then subtract from it what you are owing, subtract from it this, and then at the end of the day, the summary, that is your current value for all your years that you have been working. If you believe that as a Christian, you are backsliding. You are walking in sin, you are walking in pride. Some people will say, look, let them see what you are doing with your money. Why should they see it? Are they my God? A lot of young people, that's what's guiding them, young and old. At least now I've worked for 10 years. Let people be able to see what I did with money. I mean no disrespect, but you are very foolish. I find that foolish is a very biblical word. If I tell somebody you are stupid, I would say, sweetheart, I say, good. Now, I won't say stupid anymore. What do I say? Foolish. So that's Bible. That's Bible. The Bible says he's foolish. Read it. Listen, if you are reasoning like that, if you are reasoning like that, if you are reasoning like that, you are very foolish. You sit down and look over your life and say, what have I achieved with this my life? My mates have houses. What do I have? Listen, Jesus told the church in Laodicea, because you had houses, you had private jets, you had boats, you owned great property, land everywhere, you can travel abroad at any time, therefore you think that you are rich. He said you don't realize that you are poor, miserable, wretched, blind, naked. My God, if they abuse you like that, you're supposed to almost commit suicide. That was what Jesus said about a group of Christians. Very rich people. Imagine, just think about a church that has a lot of rich people inside. And Jesus goes there one day, calls two angels, say, come, let's go to church. They stay outside. Nobody's seeing them. You're like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, on his way. Just go there and say, can you see them? So that man is a billionaire. And then, spiritually speaking, you look at them, and you start seeing wretched people. The man physically, you see the gold, you see the expensive materials, you see everything with him, and people serving him. And spiritually, you just look at him, you see his tattered clothes. He hasn't brushed in 3 weeks. Spiritually speaking, he hasn't brushed in 3 weeks. He can't stand straight because he's hungry. You see boils all over his body. Spiritually speaking, he can't see properly. He's squinting. Yet, look at him physically, every young man wants to be like him. Every woman wants to marry him. That was what happened. That was exactly what happened. In fact, I know I was listening, Kenneth was referring to John G. Lake. I've not seen that part of John G. Lake, although I read a bit of it. He said there was a time John G. Lake used to have an experience. When he's ministering, he could see the hearts of people. At the point in time, he was so depressed, he begged God to remove that gift from him. That when he's ministering to people like this, he'll be seeing darkness. Do you understand? He'll be seeing filth. The things he will see in the hearts of people will so depress him, he wouldn't be able to minister. So he begged God, please blind me from it. Let me just preach and let me not see anything. Same people will come to church feeling very happy, and the pastor will be saying, "This man, if every Christian was like this," and the church is, you know, you understand my point? Why? He has money, he gives money. But Jesus looked at those people and said, "These guys are wretched, poor, miserable, naked, blind." Huh. That is why you must never let the world tell you what is happening with you. You must never. I won't look at you and be depressed for any reason because you have something I don't have. God forbid. Listen. There was a time I also had to take bikes everywhere I went. But God has blessed me for a very long time. Can't remember one day feeling bad about it. I can't remember one day. I even used to use it to preach that if I come to your house because I want to marry you as a young woman, and then another man comes and he comes and drives in the latest series latest model 5 series, I said, "Listen, I used to, trust me, you know this is my mouth, nobody today." I said, "It will not intimidate me one bit. Do you know God is very good to me? It made it happen to me, really. It was an S500. Yes. What I told you exactly happened. And I just smiled. I said, "Dear Lord, you know, I told you these things will never move me. They will never move me. They will never move me. Why should they move me? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. They will never move me. They will never move me." You know, some things you hear, you are shocked. As of today, young women are still marrying men with only one qualification. They came from America. Any man I will not marry while he's with me in Abakiliki, I will not marry him, no matter where he comes from. If while we're in Abakiliki, I did not think you were a worthy husband, don't come down now with $15 jeans to impress me. I'm serious about it. Ha! May God give you a tour of this America one day. You will come back home. Don't worry, you will come back. I'm telling you. If you're a man, I want to marry you. I will marry you because of what is inside you, not where you're coming out from. I know you see, sometimes you see Christian women and you want to like, "Wait, please, please. Please, sister, come to this side. When nobody's looking, you want to beat her very well." Hoping that after that, she would think. An unbeliever is calling you. Just because when he's calling you, it is plus one, something, you know, an American number. And you're feeling very happy here. And you now see your friends, "Angie, how now? You're feeling very happy. You have been chased by an American." It's inferiority complex. Yes, you're feeling inferior. You're feeling, at inside, you feel very inferior. "Oh, God, I love you. For a long time, God has taught me something that, listen, Banky, when I was creating, you know the only reason why diamond is very, very valuable? It is because it is scarce. That's it. Many things we take for granted now is because they have become common. Once they are scarce, you value them. They will tell you that a Picasso painting is being sold for $50 million. One candle will reduce it to ashes in a few minutes. Yet, it's $50 million. There are artists that are, you know, talented as Picasso today who can paint things better than that one. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yet, their own painting will not sell for $10,000. Do you know why? They are still alive. And Picasso is dead. So Picasso can't paint more. For that reason, every Picasso painting is expensive. The more people like it, the more valuable it is. They will auction a piece of canvas with paint on it that's like 100 years old. People will be bidding $50 million. Why? It is rare. I understood that long ago. That when God was making, there have been billions of people on this earth. Currently, there are about 7 billion people on the earth. Yet in all the years that have come, and the current one, there is only one Banky. My God, that guy is precious. That guy is rare. I understood it long ago, so I raised my shoulder. I raised my shoulder very high. I've always raised my shoulder. That's my first time she met me. She said, "This man, you're just full of yourself." I said, "Let me go home and think about it." I came back and told her, "I'm just very full of God." I told her, "I'm very, very full of God." Listen, as I used to dare people, go around the world. When you see a second bank, you come, we'll talk. If you say your English is not good, this quality of bad English, you can only find it in my mouth. Say, look at your black face. Say, this tone of black is only found on my face. Go all over the world. When you find the second one, come and tell me. So if you buy a Picasso for $100 million because it's so rare, and he painted many things, so do you know how valuable I am? I felt like that. I walked like that. I, God is my witness. I can't remember in the last 30 years feeling inferior to anybody. You've heard my story so many times. When for people like me, that time Nigeria was hard. I said, nobody is going to make me. Everybody going to decide at the embassy. Never. I said, I'm not going. Yes, I said, I am not going. I am not going. And I did not go. I said, when I'm going to go there, I'm going to go there with my shoulders straight. I've told this story so many times, I feel like I'm always repeating myself. The day I finally went to the American embassy, they said, put money in your account. I still did not. Total money I had in my account was less than $1,000 in value. The woman interviewing looked at me and wondered, which kind of Nigerian is this? And I asked her simply, what is the problem? She said, there's no money in your account. I said, it's a salary account. I've spent the last one they paid. I told you before that it was the day I was going for the interview. In the morning, as I was about to leave the hotel room where I stayed in Abuja, I remembered I had not prayed about the visa. I was going for a fully sponsored course. I was going to MD Anderson Cancer Center to study cytopathology for 1 month. Fully paid by a group called UICC. They sponsor training in cancer therapy, diagnosis and therapy. And it was while I was about to take a taxi. I told the taxi man to come and collect me early in the morning. It was I was about to go down to meet him that I realized I had not asked God. That's how much I did not think was a big deal. And I still remember that day. I said, Lord, you know I've not asked you for this thing. I remember I said, just for the records, Lord, I actually want to go for this course. I'm asking you to grant it to me. That was just less than 2 hours before the interview. Why? Because long ago, I realized how valuable I am as an individual. I won't marry you because you came from the moon. If I won't marry you, I won't marry you. If I will marry you, anywhere you come from, I will marry you. But the country you are coming from, how many of you have seen this film, $1? You've not seen this film, this comedy, $1. One of these home movies is old now. I mean, it's quite some time ago they made it. What's the name of the guy who did it again? This guy they call J. Mike was there. This guy they call Isiah Sophia. He's also there, all of them. Very funny film. So when I get there, I'll say, "It shall be well with America." Very funny film. See people turning their heads up and down because they see dollar. $1. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know what I'm saying? All of this, I'm saying, listen, as a child of God, you are very, 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 very valuable. What you have cannot change the value. Whether you have money, you don't have money, it's not what changes your value. You will not, listen, Satan is not an idiot too, when it comes to financial calculation. Anything he offers you, if it's money, know whatever he's getting from it is more valuable. If he tells you, bow to me, and I will give you all of these things. just know that refusal to bow is worth much more. That's why he was willing. I mean, think about it now. That's why he's willing to give you that amount of money. And like I always say, there is nothing Satan gives anybody because they bowed to him that God would not have given the person much more if he had only walked in righteousness. The difference is that Jesus says like this, God said to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, and I will bless you. The blessing of God comes as a result of walking with him into perfection. Perfection does not mean you never do anything wrong. No. Perfection means that your heart is totally yielded to him, so he can take you to wherever he wants to take you to. That's the meaning of perfection. But Satan says, no. Now. And let me say it again. When you say you are taking money from Satan, it doesn't mean you go to shrine. Those ones now fame. Many people serving Satan now, they think they are not in court because they didn't go to a shrine. Many have gone to shrine as they are signing papers they were not supposed to sign. Many have gone to shrine as they are changing names that they are not supposed to bear. Many have gone to shrine by going to clubs that they are not supposed to go to. One of our brothers gave me a testimony of his boss. That was just last week. I said, where your guy? He said, your guy traveled. What happened? He said, they selected him to chair a very important meeting outside the country. He gave me the profile of the men, women that will be on that meeting, in that meeting. I said, my God, God has really blessed your boss. So he began to talk. He said, one day, things were rough for the man. In trying to look for doors that will open, somebody took him to one of these neighboring states to go and meet a military administrator. So while waiting to see the man in the evening, you know, they were relaxing, and then they brought all these their harlots that they find in places, all the young girls to be frolicking with the men. The man looked, he said he was so angry, he got up and walked out of the place and drove back to Enugu at night. That military man was angry with him. That who does that man think he is? So on the road, as he was driving back, he was feeling very bad. I said, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you disappointing me like this? And God said, no, I am disappointed in you. What were you looking for there in the first place? So I told you, stay here. Occupy with this until I come. What are you doing running up and down? God said, look, what are you doing running up and down? Many people, that's it now. They are going to places where their consciences are being defiled every day. They think, I've not joined cult. One day, one of our friends, his friends were angry with him. Why are you always going to a club at night? He said, that's where I meet my clients. And you say, you have not joined cult. With a go club at night, when they buzz for your face, you know what they call buzzing? They are buzzing in your face every night. Half-naked girls are rubbing body on your body. And listen, your body is not firewood. We used to say those when we were in school. They have a saying in Western Nigeria. They said, the thing you don't want to eat, why are you sniffing it? You don't want to eat, bring it. You don't want to eat. You are sniffing the thing you don't want to eat. And I say, I'm not. They're not going to be telling you, what kind of, these men are very useless. Then tomorrow you go back there. Don't worry. It's little by little. Go and check Lot. Lot. When Lot moved, Lot did not move to Sodom and Gomorrah. He moved towards. He moved towards the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the kind of bad things happening in the place. And he was a righteous man. The Bible makes it clear his conscience was being, you know, afflicted every day. I remember my pastor in Lagos said at that time, he said he's sure that it was one woman he saw that he followed in. So think about it. Did the wife not go remain behind? He moved towards the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. And little by little, he entered into Sodom, bought a house in Sodom, settled inside Sodom. And everybody will come out and say, these people, what they are doing is bad, though. Listen, the only reason he survived was because of Abraham. Yes. Well, not for Abraham. Therefore, smoke the guy joined. Those angels. Look, angels, may they not vex for you. Those angels. It's good that they're always on your side. Well, not for Abraham. Nothing concerned them. So who is that? Lot. What is he doing here? He's married. All the children, they are here. Where's the landed property? Where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. So the angels will just say that this man is not going to go. Your rain fire, we're in a hurry. Many places to burn. It was the intercession of Abraham that pulled that man out of that place. The intercession of Abraham. So that the angel said, move now, I can't rain my fire until you have gone. He said, please now, where I'm going is too far. The man didn't want to go. The angels dragged him by force. I said, run, don't look back. His wife still looked back. And said, hey, my Picasso. Let me go and get it. That was how she got smoked. Look back. It's not just to turn your head like this. It's when your heart is still there. You have not left. Anytime your heart doesn't leave the place of iniquity, eventually you get smoked. I can prove it, though. You know Mrs. Lot. You know her story. What about the people of Israel? Also, they physically left Egypt, but their hearts were behind in Egypt. So what happened? They all perished in the wilderness. I went into that by the experience that some people think they are thinking about joining cult. You can say, okay, I've not made the incision. They never rub blood. Yet every day, they have been unequally yoked with unbelievers in business dealings. Every day. But there is nothing that Satan can offer anybody that God did not plan to give you much more. There is nothing. There is not nothing. And listen, as a matter of fact, the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrow. Anything you turn your back on God to get, you may get it, but two things will happen. Number one, you will eventually lose everything. And number two, while you have it, it will be full of sorrow. What I told you is a matter of fact. Anything you turn your back on God to get, you will lose. And while you have it, you will have sorrows. Plenty. Plenty are the sorrows of those who follow after other gods. That's what the Bible says. Plenty. The sorrows will be plenty. Sometimes when I look at it, now, I'm not, because of my understanding, it's not everybody that's successful. I say that this man joined cult. No, that's not it. You understand? But as a matter of fact, I know when people did not physically go to cult, but they spiritually went into cult. You understand my point? Yes. When you see, one day I saw one brother, before when he's cracking jokes, I used to like his jokes. I would laugh morning till evening. And after a while, I did watch this bro. Was making jokes on, began to justify funny things. Like, why do you have earring in your ear as a man? I'll tell you, because you're effeminate. That is the reason. You'll say, no, because you're an entertainer. I say, listen, my brother. You don't need to puncture your earring, your ear, unless you're an Egyptian of those days, as a man. Why? Why are you... You see, some of this, you don't want to argue about why not. Why are you doing... You want to belong. Once you want to belong, friendship with this world is enmity towards God. You are a musician, they begin to write the songs you must sing. Nothing wrong with singing songs for everybody to sing. I don't believe that as a Christian, all your songs must be Jesus is coming, oh, amen. Listen. No, listen, I always say that thing. I'm very real about it. Just like a Christian teacher can teach in a secular school, a Christian doctor doesn't lay hands every time he wants to do surgery. Just does his work well. In the same manner, a Christian musician can just be what you and I call a secular musician. But his values will be stated in the things. Do you understand? That he's singing. I told you that day I went to one shop here in one of these telecom companies. And I told them there, I said, why come I always watch pornography when I come here? He said, it's not pornography. It is pornography. You just don't realize it. I said, what you think is pornography is what they call hardcore. What you are showing us now is what is called soft. Why? I'm going somewhere. Why am I talking about it? Because 9 out of 10 songs you see there the girls are 90% naked, and the dance moves are not suggestive. To say they are suggestive is an insult on what is suggestive. The dance moves, these are just motions of sexual intercourse with a few straps of things around their chest and around their waist. Listen, it's so clear. And you are showing this on national TV. God in Nigeria, destroy all of them.
Amen.
I told Yinka, I said this is why Boko Haram bombs. You know the funny thing about this life, just by the way, you see all this advert, there's one soap there, Delta. The girl wears a low neck, you know, V, you see all her cleavage all over the place. The same soap advert, I've seen it in Sokoto, na hijab. The same soap. They don't dare put these things in the north. All these guys you see on billboards, don't go near them in the north. They will burn your billboard down, burn you there. That Delta soap is marketed also in northern Nigeria. I go to Sokoto, you know. Last time I was there, I saw the billboard. The girls threw their shawl over their chest, covered it. Elijah may do in secret, but openly. No way. Now, why did I go into that? This is how Christians get deceived. You release music tomorrow. They say, we have to market it. Then they do video. Once they go, they say, we are going to shoot video. And the girls begin to remove their clothes. Say, hey, wait. Excuse me. I don't do videos like this. Say, it will not sell. Let it not sell. And by the way, it's a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
It's a lie. I remember I used to tell my wife then, I said, watch Celine Dion. How many of you remember Celine Dion? Selena or Dion? Now, I was Celine Dion. The few of his videos I remember. She didn't used to dance naked. Her videos were, and that lady was a hit anytime. Why? Because she has substance in her voice. Ed Cole said, the cheaper the merchandise, the higher the gloss. When people don't have any substance, they start painting all kinds of rubbish outside. Look, listen, just on the, you know, I don't watch much of this Nigerian, musicals and all of that, for obvious reasons. But I don't even watch musical channels in my home. But there's one thing I noticed. Go and check it. Guys who really know how to sing, go and check their lyrics. They usually are bland. As far as I'm concerned, Two-Face is one of the best of them, secular musicians in Nigeria today. Listen to his lyrics. Now, when boys know Abi sing, they have to call a girl, I must marry you, I must sleep with you, I must... That is, they want to... You know, it's true. When, listen. When... I know what I'm telling you. What's the name of this joker that his father killed? Marvin Gaye was flat out broke. The moment he did sexual healing, he made money. That's how you join cult. Cult is not remote. Yeah. Pour something on your head. No. It's when you break the law of God for what you are going to get. What is this song? If a last song, Femi Ikuti. You'll be singing out of rhythm. Then when they say, oh boy, we have to make it. What do we do? Go and sing bang, bang, bang. That's it. That's what they call bowing to Satan. Listen, there is nothing you bow to Satan to get that you will not eventually lose. While you have it, it will destroy you, it will make you regret your life. While you have it, it will destroy you inside out. I've told the story many times of Pastor Chris Okotie. While he was in the peak of his fame, you know, everybody loved him. He was shaking the Nigerian music industry. He said at night, his greatest desire will be to die. He will look at his life, stand at the windows of his suite in Federal Palace Hotel, with the urge to jump out of the window and end it all. Think Satan can change his character. The Bible says that leopard cannot change his skin. Ethiopian cannot change his color. Satan is bad. The devil is wicked. Whatever he gives you is rotten. He cannot give you joy. He can't make you happy. He can't give you gladness. All he can give is this money. which the Bible makes it clear to us that it is what? Vanity. When they say money cannot buy happiness, it's the truth. Money cannot buy happiness. Why do you think every year Samsung must release Galaxy S5, Galaxy X6? As you are still warming up on Galaxy S6, they bring out Galaxy S7. Then when the S is getting too many, they just change it to Galaxy J. Something must just change. Today is iPhone 5, iPhone 5C, then iPhone 6, iPhone 6J, iPhone 7. Why? They know that human beings are never satisfied. The difference between one and another is next to nothing. The other day I was analyzing Samsung tabs with my wife. I said, listen, the newer ones had lesser memory than the previous ones. People did not know. They just bought it. People didn't know. They were going to buy it anyway. Why? They are never satisfied. Money really will not make you happy. They say, yes, it's true, but it solves some problems. That is true, and it also creates new ones. If you have only one suit, you don't have to think about what you will wear. You know what you will wear. It's when your wardrobe is full. Sweetheart, have I worn this recently? When is it? That is, you see those movie stars? The amount of money they spend on clothes is obscene. Not because they love clothes, because they have no choice. Each time a man makes a dress for only you, it's $10,000. You can't wear it twice. You can't wear it twice. When I say twice, I don't mean when you are going to the red carpet. I mean if your friend is doing birthday party. Because you don't know when the press will show up. So Beyonce is going for a birthday party of one of her friends. She talks to Amani, it's $10,000. She can never wear it to another party. Money solves a lot of problems and creates a lot of problems. But true satisfaction is being found in the center of the will of God. Oh? Today, I guess you may not realize it, but I was teaching very prophetically. Look, let me end my message here. I hope you are blessed today. Yes. Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. And what we're doing, let's just dedicate ourselves to God again. Say, Lord, I want to fear you and obey your commandments. I want to fear you and obey your commandments. I want to fear you and obey your commandments. Say, Lord, I want to fear you and obey your commandments. I know that's the whole duty. That's the whole duty of man. That's my duty. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. You say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. So say, Lord, let these words that I heard today, let them stay firmly in my heart. Let them stay firmly in my heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Quickly, let's rise to our feet and just declare the word of God, and then we close. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Everybody declare, say, the Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my light and my salvation.
The Lord is my deliverer.
The Lord is my deliverer.
Whom shall I fear?
Whom shall I fear?
Say, the Lord is the defense of my life.
The Lord is the defense of my
life. I shall not be afraid of anyone.
I shall not be afraid of
anyone. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All those who rise up against me shall fall.
Even though a host may encamp around me,
yet my heart will not fear.
Even if wars arise against me,
in spite of them I shall be confident. Say, no matter the financial adversity,
in spite of it I shall be confident.
Because the Lord is my portion,
and the Lord is my light,
and the Lord is my help. And he will never let me see shame.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, I declare of the Lord.
He alone is my refuge.
And my place of safety.
He is my God.
And I trust in him.
He will rescue me from every trap.
And protect me from the deadly disease.
He will shield me with his wings.
and shelter me with his feathers.
His
word is my armor
and my protection.
I will not be afraid of the terror of the night,
nor fear the dangers of the day.
I will not fear disaster that stalks in darkness,
nor the epidemic that threatens the peoples.
Though 1,000 fall at my side,
and 10,000 are dying around me,
say it, these evils will not touch me,
because I am seated in heavenly places,
far above principalities and powers.
Say, I have made the Lord my refuge.
I have made the Most High my shelter.
Therefore, no evil will conquer me,
and no plague will come near my dwelling.
The Lord has given his angels charge concerning me.
Therefore, they will protect me wherever I go.
They will keep me with care,
and I will not be injured.
Say, the Lord will rescue me because I love him.
He will protect me because I trust in his name.
He will answer me when I call.
He will be with me in the time of trouble.
He will rescue me and honor me.
With long life he will satisfy me.
And he will show me his salvation.
Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Quick, let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of